podcasting from Nashville, Tennessee. Hello, and welcome to the inaugural episode of Keep Asking, the Lifeway Research Podcast. Thank you for joining us. We'll start out by introducing the Lifeway Research team. Scott McConnell, missionary kid, Broncos and Phillies fan, is our executive director and fearless leader. Scott, do you have anything else you want the listeners to know about you?
I'm a dad and a husband. I've got two kids and a wife of 25 years, and they're the most important part of my life.
Casey Oliver, forever loyal fan of the New York Giants and Knicks teams, pro sports snob and statistician. Casey, what else can you tell us about you?
I'm also a father. We have our second child on the way. He's due in January. I'm married to my wife, Mary Beth. We love our church. We're members at First Baptist Gillettsville, where we teach our college Sunday school class. Like you said, I'm a huge sports fan. I love the Giants, and I played sports into college.
And I'm Lizette Beard, project manager, qualitative researcher, Mizzou grad and Tiger fan, and host. So let's get started. Today, in this inaugural episode, we want to talk about why research matters, why it's important, and why we think that we can help. Scott, I'm going to just start out with something pretty broad. Why does research matter? You've invested your whole career into it. What's important about it, and how do you see it helping others?
We can make better decisions if we understand what's happening around us and why it's happening, and that's what research delivers. It is a snapshot. Each survey is a snapshot of the culture we live in, and as we can often look at multiple research projects, we can see how that culture is changing, and we can see how our ministry and our efforts can actually impact that culture around us.
Casey, a lot of times when I tell people I work on a research team, they say, well, that sounds boring. But you and I have had some great conversations. As someone with a master's degree in statistics, what is exciting about research and stats and data for you?
I think it just helps us form better narratives. I think, to echo what Scott was saying, we're sometimes inherently bad at identifying trends and the range of those trends, for us at Lifeway and the church and culture on our own. My friends aren't America or the church. Hollywood isn't America or the church. So some of those places we naturally go to in terms of trying to make inferences about broader culture, can lead us to misleading places. But yeah, well-done research can affirm and correct our narratives as needed.
You guys both love baseball, and I hear you talking about that. What is it about stats and data in baseball that people can kind of connect to, or sports in general, that they can make that leap and connect to why it matters in other decisions and other areas that they work in?
I think baseball's statistics are fascinating for a couple of reasons. One is the typical player in baseball, especially as a hitter, does incredibly poorly, and that's on average. And so to see an average where somebody who gets a hit one out of three times is considered a great hitter is incredibly helpful, that those statistics of their futility are actually encouraging.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a big thing to just kind of keep in perspective how you're doing. Otherwise, you're going to always feel like you're in a slump. The second thing that I think is helpful with baseball statistics is the game has not changed dramatically through the years, and we're talking about 100 years. And so, yes, early on they changed how many strikes and how many balls was a walk or a strikeout, but it's really stayed pretty much the same. And because of that, the stats are incredibly comparable. And so when we think about the greatest hitters or the greatest pitchers of all time, those statistics actually allow us to compare. It's much harder in football. As I went to the Football Hall of Fame a year ago, they had a pretty neat illustration of glass and a running back kind of breaking through the glass as they broke records. Well, that's because the game has completely changed. And so the statistics are not even comparable. A great running back today is going to have much higher statistics than a great running back two generations ago. And so the beautiful thing with baseball is the comparisons are actually comparable.
So I know we find in our conversations, or when we're doing press releases and talking about research, people are really drawn to the big numbers or the churches that show up on the front cover of a magazine, you know, the big exciting things. But what you were just talking about is that the batter who hits one out of three. I think one project that stuck out with me a lot was our Transformational Church project, where it was where we could see some small differences, like the difference between a transformational church and a regular church that wasn't seen as much. It wasn't the difference between 100% and 30%. Sometimes it was the difference between 60% on whatever the topic is and 45%. What do you have to say to the person who's always looking for stats or numbers that seem big or exciting or dramatic?
I think every conversation benefits from facts. And so some of those facts are going to be, hey, if you can get 1 out of 10 people to get on board with praying in your church, then the prayer life of your church can be transformational compared to where it is today. And just a 1 out of 10 sounds like a small stat, but it can be incredibly encouraging and actually sound very doable as compared to thinking that I've got to get 9 out of 10 people to do something they don't want to do or are not doing today.
Casey, when folks are trying to compare statistics or data and make decisions, well, let me give you an example of which is better. Tom Brady has played in 6 Super Bowls and only won 4. Joe Montana played in 4 Super Bowls and won all 4. Who is the better? Who is the best quarterback?
This is a loaded question, Casey. Be careful.
So, Casey, thinking
about... You're on sacred ground here.
Thinking about that, who would you say is the better quarterback?
I mean, Eli Manning's 2 for 2, so...
So he's half as good as Joe Montana? Is that what you would say?
100% still. It's got to be. I think that, you know, again, that speaks to the nuances a lot because, you know, when we evaluate quarterbacks the same way, you know, you were talking about with churches, a lot of times we want to look to how many Super Bowls do they win, how many do they play in, and, you know, there's a lot of context that we're dropping there as we go. The same with, you know, when Scott was talking about statistics for quarterbacks a lot or for running backs. You know, Eli Manning, the best quarterback in the world. he recently just moved into 8th, or I think 7th, actually, all time on the passing touchdowns list, passing John Elway. And as much as I do want to rep him and talk about how great he is, I understand that that doesn't mean that he's one of the 7 best quarterbacks to have ever played football. And, you know, so that context matters of it being a different era. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that is important as we look at stats is providing context and nuance and helping people to frame that in a way that makes sense.
Either one of y'all can jump in. We're not going to tackle any of the big or specific things in this episode, but what are some of the reactions that you all have seen that people have to research or data, negative or positive, or off the wall, that kind of surprises you or frustrates you?
The beautiful thing about research is that it informs a conversation. And so conversations are going to be going on. And if there can be some facts in those conversations, they're better conversations. But the way the facts get used, the way the research get used is a lot of times they're weapons. We need to keep in mind that the research itself doesn't blame anyone. But the research can be used, just as you were just doing in a quarterback comparison, it can be used to raise somebody up or to put somebody down, and it can be the same statistic. And that's kind of the joy of research and statistics, is that they get used because they are helpful and they give us perspective. But again, you may use the same statistic from a different perspective.
I was reading something the other day about research, and I realized that sounds incredibly nerdy that I was reading about research. But I loved, it was a line that said, I think the guy's last name was Cresswell, but it said, a research project is not something in you, it's something out there. And because it was saying, it's not you just rearranging all the things that you know or rearranging all the things that you've figured out. But it's going out. It's a process of discovering, engaging, learning. What are some of the things, Casey, that you've, in doing research, that you've discovered or you've enjoyed about the adventure of learning and growing as you've worked through projects?
Yeah, I think I think I'm going to be surprised a lot. You know, I think that you have a sense that you know something about a topic, about where Americans stand on a topic, about where churchgoers would stand on a topic. And again, just kind of relearning that lesson over and over again that, you know, my Facebook wall is not America, you know, that that it doesn't represent everybody, and being able to, yeah, be surprised and learn something about broader culture. And it's kind of fun being the first one to know that sometimes too, you know, to kind of have run some analysis and to be able to say, hey, I know something about America that maybe nobody else does.
Well, that brings up another point before we wrap up. We talked at the beginning about research helps make decision. Does the data dictate the decision? How does it help?
It really gives you perspective. The research that we do on the church and the culture gives you a lay of the land. And so I think on the culture, what we get is we get signposts. We get to see the direction the culture's headed. We see, we get our bearings on where it's at today. And that directional information is incredibly helpful as we go to make decisions, because we know the context, the outside forces that are touching us as we go to make those decisions. But research also provides ministry markers. It gives us some perspective on our efforts in terms of sharing the gospel or in discipling other believers, and gives us some perspective of what progress looks like. It gives us some perspective on why certain ministry activities work better than others. And so those markers can be incredibly helpful as we try to make strategic decisions about where to put our efforts or where to scale back a little bit.
Scott, you were actually the genius behind the title for the podcast, Keep Asking. Where did that come from? What were you thinking?
Well, a couple of thoughts. One is that's what research is. You know, the best research actually spurs more research. So we ask some questions, we get some answers, but because we've learned something from the audience we're studying, it actually creates more questions. And so we want to then go into another phase. We want to do another research project to continue that cycle of learning by continuing the cycle of asking. But I think the other piece is we want listeners to be asking questions of us, and we can continue that conversation together about how research answers some of their questions.
Well, thank you for listening to Keep Asking, the Lifeway Research podcast. If you've liked what you've just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, lifewayresearch.com, to your friends and colleagues. Be sure to tweet your questions and comments to us at Lifeway Research, and individually at smconn, S-M-C-C-O-N-N, at StatsGuyCasey, and at Lizette Beard. Join us next time for another edition of Keep Asking. Remember, keep asking, learn more, do better.